Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a guy who knows way more about Kato Kaelin than I ever wanted to. I am Rob Sister. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Sunday night, January 27th. Nominations are locked in. They're going to be changing tomorrow night on eviction night. Lots to talk about here on one of the weirdest nights in the history of not just Celebrity Big Brother, but Big Brother. We will talk about it with a great panel here tonight. Very excited to have back with us here on the show. You know her from the Big Brother Canada 6, our own Kirsten McInnes. Kirsten, how are you?
I'm good, Rob. I think I prefer to call it the reality TV fiasco of 2018, but I guess we can go with Canada 6.
Yes.
That's the only one that matters. Come on.
Yes. Kirsten, how are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you. I'm enjoying the season, loving it. A little bit upset that Jonathan's not still there, but at least I can hate watch Joey still, so everything's happening.
Yeah, we all can. Of course, a woman capping off what a incredible weekend for Melissa Danny. Melissa, how are you?
I'm great. I had a very fun weekend, but this was a very, very, very interesting episode of Big Brother. I'm still not even sure what I was watching. So I'm a little confused.
One of my ideas for tonight was that I was gonna post like my running diary of watching the show, of going through everything, but maybe we'll save that for the Winter of Stein. What a weird hour of television. What did we sign up for here?
Did we sign up for this?
I don't know.
Like, I didn't sign up for this.
I was going to say, this was a very, very strange, I feel like I don't even want to talk about some of the strangeness that we saw. Well, there was a lot of bodily functions.
Sorry, Melissa. There's no, I hope you brought a note, because we got a lot of stuff to talk through. We had a competition, we had nominations, and we had plenty of insanity, which we'll get to all that and more, plus your questions, hashtag RHAP. So I guess, I don't really, you know, a lot happened here tonight. So, Kirsten, let me start with you. And we are now a full week into Celebrity Big Brother. How are you enjoying the ride?
This is crazy. So this is my first real Celebrity Big Brother experience, because last year I was like, okay, can't get too attached because you're going to miss the end. So just don't really pay too much attention. This is absolute lunacy. I don't understand what's going on most of the time. These people are crazy, and I am living for it.
Yeah. Melissa, you still having fun?
I'm definitely still having fun. I always love Big Brother Celebrity, just because I mean, I wouldn't want to replace regular Big Brother with it, but I feel like it fills a different void, where like regular Big Brother is a lot more intense and you get a lot more invested in the individual people. Big Brother Celebrity is kind of just like a fun version where no one really cares and everyone's still friendly with each other. I mean, they have their fair share of blow ups, but it's not like, it doesn't get so bitter, and it's more just fun, and you don't really get as invested, which like can be fun sometimes. So I love it.
Now, did everything that took place in this episode, Melissa, can you tell us, that was this story told basically in the time that it happened, where Friday was the live eviction? Did all of this take place within 24 hours?
I mean, I believe so. But if I'm being totally honest, I don't remember anything about Kato's massage.
Perhaps that happened earlier in the week, or maybe when the feeds were down. That might have been why. That might be our answer to why the feeds had to be down for.
Wait, so it was a 9-hour massage? That explains it, actually.
Yeah. Okay. So I mean, a lot went on. I guess, so let's talk through the actual game ramification. That might take us about 4 minutes to go through. But after the vote on Friday night, there was that one vote which was for Jonathan to stay. The vote ended up being cast for Candy. normally in the situation, Kirsten, this would be candy running around the house of like, hey, who voted for me? Who was that one person? Show yourself. Who was the person that voted for me? Instead, this was a lot of confusion about, as Tamar laid out, Jonathan was in Mean Girls with Lindsay Lohan's mom, who's in the house. Why was this such a mystery?
Well, and exactly, it doesn't make sense. And then at the same time, you have Dina going around asking people who they voted for. She's the person who definitively has all of the information. So she's also kind of making more confusion by acting confused about it. I don't, maybe people were operating under the assumption that Jonathan Bennett and Lindsay Lohan maybe aren't actually friends, which I think I came into the season thinking. I honestly could not tell you.
Melissa, I thought it was so funny when that we had, I think it was Lolo was in the bedroom with, I believe it was Natalie Eva Marie and Ricky Williams, and they were trying to talk this through, and they said, yeah, we think that Dina voted for Jonathan, and Ricky Williams was like, yeah, but that's a bad move. Why would she do that? Does it? Why would she, of course, she didn't vote for Jonathan. That would be a bad game move. She wouldn't do that.
The whole thing was just, it didn't make any sense why people were so confused about this. First of all, it's one vote, which like really isn't that hard to figure out. And also, it also makes sense. I feel like they all knew going into it that she was going to be voting to keep Jonathan because they already sensed that she had a connection with him. And coupled with the fact that they didn't tell Dina who they were voting for. No one was being upfront and honest with her. So why would they assume that she would know which way to vote? I mean, It would seem to me that Dina made the correct assumption, considering that the only person who was running around telling everyone their vote was Tamar, and she was the one who was saying she was going to vote Candy out up until kind of the last minute. So, I mean, if I'm Dina and I'm thinking, oh, okay, the only thing I'm hearing is that Candy's getting voted out from someone, so I'm just going to go along and not vote out my friend. It just, honestly, it doesn't even make any sense to me why they're so concerned about this. It's not like Dina was in alliance with them and betrayed them or something. She just like cast a pity vote to a friend.
This doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And see, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Then, Kirsten, there was the moment in the storage room also where we'll talk more about the Heisman Trophy later, but Dina Lohan like came through and like gave a stiff arm to Natalie Eva Marie on her way out of the storage room.
Yeah, I love that. Natalie's like, good job. You did great, which I don't know what she's talking about, because at this point, what has Dina done well? And Dina's just like, as if. And it honestly
just got punked by a 52-year-old woman.
What could be worse? I can't imagine a worse fate.
Getting punked. Okay. So we spend a lot of time on this endurance competition.
Were you
watching this in the real time?
I was not watching in real time, but then I went back and watched. And, you know, they spend a lot of time on these HOH competitions. Like, I feel like they could have told this entire story in a lot shorter time period. I don't feel like we need necessarily like every single person's story as to like what they were feeling, what they were doing, then how they ended up like jumping off. It's a little much when really all we need to know is like, are there any, like, first of all, who's first out? Mm-hmm. Second of all, are there any deals made? Third of all, who wins? Mm-hmm. I just feel like it doesn't really
add anything. The second one is kind of, we don't really know what deals were made. The guests don't even know what deals were made.
You never really truly know what the deals are and whether they're going to be held up. But I just feel like they spend way too much time on this, like, I think they just really like to see video clips of the, you know, Jell-O getting splatted at them or whatever, the cream or whatever, because they kept re-showing it. Like, they showed it get splat once, mm-hmm. and then they showed each individual splatter on each person. It was like, oh my God, they only splattered it once. Like, just chill out. We don't need to see every single person. Well, like, rewind.
They love making a mess, and Kato, we know how he feels about when messes get made, but I think they love showing this on regular Big Brother, Kirsten, but when now it's like, oh, we're getting celebrities dirty. I think that they really want to get a lot of bang for their buck on this.
Yeah, they need to try and embarrass as many of these celebrities as much as possible. And so they want to really show us, like, we are not taking it easy on them. This is like a real Big Brother competition. And I just can't help but think, if that was real sugar, what is the ant situation in the backyard?
Well, thank God it's January.
Like, I don't know. This is an insane amount of just food.
Yeah. Kato Kaelin. What a night for Kato Kaelin. That they poured some sugar on Kato, which he said that
sugar drops on my lips and gets into my mouth, and suddenly I have an urge to jump off the rock wall and just go into the house and clean everything. I don't know what's going on. Hey, that was sugar, right?
Kato obsessed with cleaning the house. He wants to get hopped up on sugar and then go around and clean everything.
I like the cocaine joke there at the end.
Yeah. Kirsten, now, did you notice that also CBS licensed a Poison song for this HOH competition? I mean, never in the history of Big Brother, celebrity or regular, have they licensed music to play in a competition.
Well, they made all of those headlines with Scaramucci so they can afford to splurge.
Is that what they did? It's almost like that CBS had like an extra $120 million lying around that maybe they said, okay, let's put some of this into our music budget.
Yeah, that's probably where it came from. That's actually how much it cost for that one song.
Yeah, I really was very surprised. It was worth it.
Every penny.
Melissa, that's why they had to make the segment so long.
I guess so. They wanted to get their money's worth.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I do have to give it up to Kato Kaelin because he is one of the older house guests who's ever competed on the show. And he totally he outlasted Olympians. So I just feel like you got to give credit where credit is due. I mean, considering I believe I read that he is actually older than Kevin from BB19. Mm-hmm. And he's like competing against these young athletic people and he totally pulled it out.
Yeah.
So very impressive.
Is it possible that Kato just has the smallest butt? It seems like that was a big disadvantage depending on the size of your booty. Yes.
Butts were mentioned a lot in this episode, and I don't know if it's like hinting at something or what, but.
What is
well,
it?
And especially sort of from Ricky. The next twist. But
yeah, I have found myself, Kirsten, I am really enjoying my Ryan Lochte experience. It might end tomorrow, but I am really enjoying it so far to this point.
Yeah, I came in really, really down on Lochte, and I have come around on the entertainment value. And I can just picture like the production assistant saying, okay, now say I'm going from ready to rock to on the block. Yeah. And I'm just like picturing how many takes that took. It brings me joy.
I know not much about him outside of the game, Melissa, but he seems like a nice enough guy. He hasn't said a mean thing about anybody there. He is now like in our favorite spot of the underdog who is now almost all these people are working against him to potentially get him up on the block. So he's really, I think, firing on all cylinders, Lock.
I think he's doing a great job for his image rehabilitation, yeah. That's for sure. Because I feel like he went into this with everybody thinking like, oh, he's the bad boy. He lies to, get out of trouble. And he, you know, does all this XYZ. And now it's like, oh, you know, I don't think there was anything malicious behind anything he's like ever done in his life at this point. Like he just doesn't have it in him.
The misunderstanding that whole other thing.
Now, that's what it feels like.
Melissa, they have not played the veto today, correct?
No, they haven't played it yet.
Are we expecting the veto will be played live on Monday night?
I don't know if it's going to be played live, but it's possible that it could happen Monday morning. It could even happen in the middle of the night tonight. But I have no idea.
To get it in the show, I kind of feel like that it would be harder to film it Monday morning and then get edited down as opposed to just do it in the show on Monday night.
Yeah, totally true. I mean, honestly, this Big Brother celebrity schedule is like messing with everything. I thought that the veto was being played today and it wasn't. So now I'm very confused. And so we're just going to have to, I guess, experience it with everyone else.
Yeah. And of course, we will be live again Monday night at this same time. Very excited. Big show tomorrow night. Caitlin Herman will be here in the studio to talk about the live eviction and potentially live veto. So very excited to have Caitlin back here in the studio to talk some Big Brother on Monday night. Okay. So we had some other things that happened in this competition, Kirsten, where Kato Kaelin was viciously attacked by Dina Lohan during this competition.
Yeah, honestly, I cannot believe the audacity of Dina Lohan. But no, actually, it was like a much more mild version of like Rosina cheering for Paris in the first HOH of BB Can 6.
Yes.
Like a much more mild version of that.
Yeah. What did she say, Melissa? It was like, hey, hold on, Joey.
It literally, it was, I don't even feel like it was that. It was just like, don't give up. Everyone stay holding on. Like literally it was the most yeah. like, unoffensive, unassuming thing that anyone could say. And then Kato's like, ouch. Oh my God. I can't believe you're coming at me so hard. It's like,
I was attacked. Never in my life have I seen or heard about something so violent, such something so terrible as.
Like, why are people so afraid of Dina?
I don't understand it. She's basically like a lone wolf. She has no alliance. She doesn't seem like super athletic, although she did have a good showing in this endurance competition, but she's really just on her own by herself, not partnered up with anyone. I don't get why. And I mean, her strategy is like, oh, like, I just don't want people to lie. I don't like this lying thing. It's like, that should not scare you. You should want to keep that person around for a while because they're not a threat to you. And if anything, you can pull them in on your side. So I have no clue what they're saying right now.
Kirsten, are you enjoying this story being told in the house about Miss Lohan and her battle against the other popular girls clique that won't let her be a part of their group?
I'm just waiting to see who gets hit by a bus, to be honest. I'm riveted.
Maybe thrown under a bus before too much longer. We saw Joey Lawrence also was having a rough time out there. Kirsten, he just wanted that competition to end.
Well, and they showed Joey so much less of that than what they could have. Like, they could have really made him seem like such a whiner because that's what he is. Can we get this going? Like, can we get this over with? It's so cold. This is unsafe. Like, this is dangerous for us. Like, it did not stop at a point. And they were very charitable to him not showing all
yeah.
that.
It was pretty funny during the competition because he's like, okay, this is taking too long. When's it going to get started? They need to get it started. And eventually Natalie was like, this is the competition, mm-hmm. Joey. Like, we just have to stay on here for as long as possible. Like, this is it. We're not doing anything further.
Well, so what is this costume that Joey Lawrence is wearing around the house with the big black frames?
Very weird.
Ski hat. It's almost like he's gone into like some sort of like witness protection program. Like,
it's
what? What is this?
It's like 90s, early 2000s, and I don't think that's his best look. That's for
I'm
sure.
I'm showing my range for CBS.
Yeah, but
yeah,
the paparazzi.
Did you see the Batman,
yeah.
Batman reference is his audition, everyone. So,
yeah, so could you explain this, Melissa? That Joey Lawrence wants to be cast as Batman?
Yes, that is his next career goal, is to be the next Batman. And so that was his audition. So, you know, casting directors out there, check it out.
You know, well, Gotham needs me.
The other thing with that is someone went and looked up like at Joey Lawrence and Batman and found like dozens and dozens and dozens of tweets from Joey Lawrence from like 2015 where he's like, I will be Batman one day. Know that. Like, I will be the best
sad.
Batman ever. Like, this is literally his life goal. And that's probably as close as he'll ever get.
Oh, poor Joey.
Don't get it.
I don't feel bad for him. Like, I don't understand.
Very
sad.
Strange.
Maybe there's some off-Broadway Batman musical that he could be in.
I'm pretty sure that superhero musicals end up being way too expensive and dangerous. So probably not.
Probably not a good idea.
Okay. Poor Joey. Okay. So ultimately, we end up with once Joey ends up falling out of the competition, we're going to see Kato and Natalie end up with a deal in terms of that Kato will keep Natalie Eva Marie safe, and that Kato is feeling like that Lochte is the best target for him. We see a conversation with Kato and Lochte, Melissa, where Lochte, I thought it was a good pitch. He's like, hey, I'm going to win everything. So you should keep me. We'll work together.
I was very impressed with Ryan Lochte's pitch because he could have just as easily not said anything. And instead, he went in there and gave good, solid reasons why he should be kept around. And I'm shocked that Kato isn't listening to him. I mean, he should keep Ryan Lochte around, especially if he can pull him in on their side and say, look, we did try and convince the girls to keep Jonathan. It didn't work out. But like, I want to work with you. I just feel like Kato and Tom a little bit, but Tom less so, are blinded by Lolo and Natalie, and they really shouldn't trust them. I mean, clearly Natalie and Lolo are working mostly with Ricky and using Kato and Tom. The second Kato and Tom are out of power, you think they're going to stick around with them? I don't think so. So I just wish Kato... I mean, it's made very clear that Tom is the brains of the Tomato Alliance, and Kato's just not listening to him. So Tom has to go along with what Kato says, and Kato just clearly is not the brains of the operation. So it's unfortunate because I think they could have really done some damage.
Yeah, Kirsten, Kato feels like he's got it all figured out. Lochte is the biggest threat in the house. Take him out, and that'll be good for Kato.
Yeah, definitely take the biggest threat out in the second spot because who will be the next biggest threat? It's a mystery. No way to know. And I mean, Ryan came in with a foolproof plan. He's just going to win every competition. He hasn't won any of the other two vetoes, but I'm sure none of the other ones will be a problem.
I mean, am I crazy that I know Ryan is a threat to win challenges. And I know this is a Celebrity Big Brother and it's a different game, but does that by proxy make him the biggest threat?
I don't think it makes him the biggest threat, but I think that he could be a big threat just because he hasn't really said anything mean. Mm-hmm. And so people will respond well to that later. Like, I think he's accidentally a threat to win.
Okay. Accidentally.
If he can get there, which doesn't seem like he can.
Yeah. But accidentally a threat to win is probably not bad. I mean, Melissa, we did the draft a couple of weeks ago of going into this season. And honestly, if you had the number one pick right now, I think it would be like, is there one person that you feel like is really the front runner, like more so than any other person?
Not really.
Yeah.
Pick a name out
of a hat.
It's pretty even. I feel like everyone has their goods and their bads. I still like Natalie Eva Marie's chances just because I feel like she's in with a lot of people and she's less drama than some of the other people. So
I think I would agree. I think that she would probably be the number one pick, but you wouldn't like pick her, now and say, okay, if this is a lock.
Yeah, she got punked by a 52-year-old woman.
Can
she win?
Okay. So there is a lot of turmoil in the house, and a lot of it is going to come out of where there was this 4 a.m. Conversation. What were Lolo and Natalie Eva Marie doing until 4 o'clock in the morning with Dina Lohan?
A lot of the conversation that they were having was about Tamar and keeping Tamar under control. I know that, Tamar is an interesting person in that she's very personable when she wants to be, but she tends to fly off the handle over a lot of things that maybe she might not need to fly off the handle about. And so they were really talking about her and how to control her and how to like figure out a way to work with her. And it was mainly a conversation with Natalie, Lolo, and Ricky. And that kind of set Tamar off because she was like, these guys are my friends. These guys are supposedly I'm working with them. And if they feel like they can't even trust me, and they have to talk with me all night, then I, or talk about me all night, then I don't understand what's going on here. And that is kind of how things got set into motion. Mm-hmm. But still, it's like, I mean, I understand their need to talk about her, like, and how to calm her down and how to keep her tame and quiet, because she is very volatile. Like, yeah. You don't know what you're going to get from her.
Okay. So that, I feel like that's a little different than how the episode presented this, where I felt like that the episode, Kirsten, presented it as, oh no, Tamar is just being paranoid crazy, and they weren't even talking about Tamar.
Yeah. They're really pushing forward this narrative of Tamar is just like an angry, paranoid person, which I don't particularly care for. But she also leans into that with how reactive she is. So I can understand why they would edit her that way, but I don't think it's a great look to choose that as how they show her. I also feel like the fear of Tamar, she's totally neutered by how terrified she was in that HOH, like that screaming and that just pure horror. I'd be like, I'm not afraid of this woman anymore. And like, maybe that's what happened. And that's why
Lola, she's all drama.
They're like, you're 3 feet off the ground. Like,
you could see, like,
touch the ground with your toes.
When she's hanging and you could see it's like maybe a foot and a half, and a half between the ground and your feet, and she's losing it. Like, I just feel like I would no longer be afraid of someone who is so terrified in that situation. And like, maybe that's why Lolo felt so comfortable going off on her the next morning. But like, oh.
Yeah. She's just screaming.
I love her.
So we got more Tamar screaming with Lola, where it seemed like they almost came to blows again, where we saw the neck punch conversation from last week. Melissa, was this all yesterday in terms of this argument between Lolo and Tamar?
The flashback stuff was not from yesterday.
No, not the flashback stuff, but the stuff from that we saw in tonight's episode.
Oh, I'm
going
to go off or whatever. Yes, right. That stuff was from yesterday.
So, kudos to Big Brother for turning this all around in a very quick amount of time, especially, you know, having people in there to work over the weekend. Very impressive.
Yeah, basically it was, that was in the morning, I believe. And then after that fight, feeds cut for like 7 hours or something. So it was a long time for people to be speculating. Mm-hmm. Why are the feeds down? What's going on? Did Lolo get kicked out? And there were rumors flying around. And I mean, luckily none of the rumors were true.
Right.
But,
as per usual
with Big Brother, the rumors were not true. But it was a little bizarre, that fight, because it seemed to me, at least watching it, that it came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, Lolo was like yelling, like, and really aggressively raising her voice. And I was just like, whoa, where did this come from? Because previously, Lolo's been pretty good about keeping relatively calm when Tamar kind of like gets into it with her. But this one was... it was a little much.
Yeah. Kirsten, in terms of the feeds being down, is it possible that in terms of turning the episode around so quickly that they needed all hands on deck in order to get this episode from what was happening in the house on Saturday to ultimately get on the air? Is it possible that there's some sort of overlap in those resources?
I mean, I'm not going to say it's impossible because I don't really know how everything works behind the scenes, but I do know, like, it came up that I think Lolo had spent a lot of the day in the diary room being talked down after that. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know what was happening in the house at that time.
Okay. Maybe one day we'll find some of that stuff.
We need the secret tapes.
Yes. Okay. So Tamar, after the confrontation with Lolo, she's upset. And we see her, she's getting ready, she's packing up all her stuff. We see her talk to Tom Green. I love this moment when she tells Tom Green that she's not moving bedrooms, she's gonna leave the house.
I'm not moving rooms somewhere. Oh, I don't fight people.
What are you quitting, or?
I don't quit. I don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you have it.
Talking a bit.
Okay.
She's like, going home. Is she quitting?
I'll talk to you later. Oh, okay. All right.
Well, and then she's like, it was nice meeting you.
So ridiculous. So what are you doing with this? Is this just all a big show or
she's
what?
So great. She's so
do
great.
You think maybe she was quitting? And then when Tom said the word quit, she was like, wait a second. She's I don't like, do that. Never mind.
I don't know. We will know that Tamar is not quitting the game until we get.
Oh, is someone quitting the podcast?
Yeah, we have an update. We have an update on Tamar. Okay. All right. Ultimately, we get to our nominations, and we're going to see that it's going to be Tamar and Dina Lohan on the block this week. And Kato Kaelin, we found out, had some specific reasons why he wanted Tamar to go up on the block. We saw a quick scene early on in the episode about how Kato felt about something that was going on in the house, that Tamar was not cleaning up in the kitchen.
I've had roommates my entire life, and I hate it when they make a mess. It drives me buggy.
Listen, Kato hates roommates that make a big mess everywhere.
Yeah, but other stuff that roommates do, is that's totally cool and fine. Like, you know,
not even with a messy roommate.
Anything else is fine. Anything else is fair game, but messy, yeah. No way.
Messy personally, fine. Messy your things, not fine.
Not fine.
Okay. All right. He's never had a roommate that's made a mess, Kato Kaelin, before. And then also we heard in Kato's nomination, sorry, there was something that Tamar did that really upset Kato, that it was almost a terrible incident in the house.
We're kind of a team here, and I slipped on some shrimp today.
I never thought that would be part of a nomination speech.
How much shrimp?
Kirsten, that Tamar, I guess, was cooking shrimp, and Kato Kaelin almost slipped on a shrimp.
Okay, but like, how much shrimp do you have to drop for it to be a safety hazard? And how do you not notice that happen and deal with it immediately? Like, there's a difference between being like a little bit messy and like, oh yeah, I dropped a whole shrimp ring on the floor, but you know what? Someone else will get it. I'm cooking.
There's just shrimp everywhere, guys. This is a big deal. Okay. Yeah. I understand where he's coming from. It's just like shrimp all over the place. You know,
shrimp everywhere.
Can't have that.
How did that come up in the nomination ceremony?
I have no idea. Like, I was listening to Tamar and Dina talking about the nominations, and they were saying like, oh, well, whenever I cook, then someone else needs to clean. And whenever someone else cooks, then I would clean. And that's like a standard thing that you do at home, is like, when you cook, you don't have to clean it as well. When you like don't cook, you know, it was like that whole thing. And I was like, what are they talking about? What does this have to do with anything? And now it all comes together that this was the main reason for nomination. So there you go.
Yes, very slippery shrimp in the Big Brother house. Also, then Kato sensed like these nominations aren't going over great. But hey, just remember one thing, everybody.
Cool. Okay, you guys are good. And I always think of, you know, six of the seven dwarfs aren't happy.
Hey. You know what?
He's got a point.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
Yes. Melissa, Brent is yelling in the chat. He wants you to comment on the Kato mentioned that Tamar should go home and be with her son.
Yeah, I hate that sort of logic where it's like, I mean, same goes for picking a winner. Like, oh, well, he has kids or she has kids. Like, they need to, you know, she's a mother, aka last Big Brother celebrity. I hate the whole, like, well, she should go home to be with her son. Did they say that to dads? Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. And so I really hate that sort of logic. So I did like that Tamar stood up to him about that and said, like, no, I never said I wanted to go home to be with my son. Like, I never said that. So, yeah, I just feel like that's
at least Meta World Peace quit to go home and be with his wife.
Yeah, well, that's a little different, I guess. But for real, though, like, I hate that sort of logic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and like, isn't Ricky Williams a father? So shouldn't he be up on the block, too, to go back to his kids? Like, it's just so infuriating that it's somehow a reason to put a woman on the block, but it doesn't happen with a man.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it was a list of reasons. I think that, you know, in terms of his rationale, I think that shrimp on the floor was clearly one. see your kids is, lower on the list.
Well, I also felt like his speech just wasn't going well, and so he just kept talking to try and fix it, and it was just getting worse and worse, and he was just clearly uncomfortable. So it wasn't as bad as what I thought it would be based on how Timar was talking about it.
But what a crazy night for Kato Kaelin, where he did win the HOH this night. He is so odd. He's such a weirdo. I played the clip of him with the sugar where he was talking like he was on cocaine that they poured the sugar on him. This was Kato Kaelin celebrating his win in the HOH.
I'm the HOH winner, and I'm the rock star. Rock star, you're English now.
Kato, Kato, Kato.
That's him then chanting his own name, right?
Well, and then it's like Tom Green is also chanting, like, let's have fun, let's have fun, let's have fun at the same time. And I'm like, Tom, what are you doing?
Yeah. Also, what did Kato win?
I'm the HOH winner.
HOH winner.
The H winner?
I'm the HOH winner.
Okay, I really this whole time thought he was saying I'm the HO Twitter.
HO Twitter.
Like that head of Twitter or something. And I was like, I don't get it, but okay.
Why couldn't he just say I'm the HOH?
I'm the HO Twitter.
H.O. Hlinner.
Okay. All right. But then, we've talked about Kato and his speeches and everything, but we have to talk about a TV moment that I will never forget my entire life, no matter what else happens in Celebrity Big Brother. I think anytime I hear about Kato Kaelin or Ricky Williams the rest of my life, I think I will think back to this clip. And I didn't know where this was going tonight when we first heard Kato say this.
There's a new sheriff in town.
And he is constipated.
Why?
Now, Melissa, that people who follow the live feeds regularly are no stranger to the house guests talking about constipation. In fact, right. It's probably the number three thing that they 100 house guests surveyed, top 8 answers on the board. Name something people talk about on the live feeds. Constipation, very high up on the list.
Yes. And taking laxatives.
They're always taking the farm. But I was under the impression that this is always in regards to slop in the Big Brother house. Is the Big Brother house built on some sort of ancient graveyard? Is it cursed, the Big Brother house?
It must be, because honestly, I think the slop thing was always an excuse. Now that we know it happens without slop, you don't even need to put slop in the mix. And then you've got this issue. So
what was in the shrimp?
We didn't even get to eat any shrimp, Rob. It was on the ground. But I think it might be the thing where like people don't like to poop not in their own home. The Big Brother house doesn't feel like home yet. So they just aren't able to let it go.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so Kato has a problem, but luckily there is somebody there to save the day. Ricky Williams.
If you're open to it, I know how to massage the organs to help.
Okay, I didn't even know this was a thing. I didn't know that you could get a stomach massage and that was a thing.
I did not know that either, but you know what? Ricky is teaching us a lot of things.
The human body, we learn new things about it every day.
It makes sense. There's like yoga poses that are called like wind relieving pose. And so I feel like he was touching that part of the body. So
yeah.
And you know what? You've got to give it to the editors here. I feel like the cinematography was just pure gold.
Yeah, so Kato's gonna lay on his back, and Ricky Williams is going to get in there. Kato said this, which I was a little confused by.
I brought oil here. I'm gonna show you what I brought here.
Okay, so he's got oil. So I wasn't sure where we were all going with this. But here is Kato Kaelin during the procedure from Ricky Williams.
My belly hurty, hurty. colon fully need helpy. Medically speaking, of course.
The music and everything. It's just, it's so much.
Medically speaking, of course.
Medically speaking, of course.
My belly hurty, hurty, colon, fully need helpy. Medically speaking, of course.
Why doesn't Ricky Williams just walk away at that point?
Yeah, my God.
Stop. Stop
talking.
At that
point, I would have been like, no.
I'll help you, but stop. Stop. Belly hurty, colon.
I mean, I'm surprised he didn't just throw a quick little punch, like just punch the colon and maybe that'll fix it. And then stop talking. I don't know.
You go to Tamar if you want a colon punch, I thought.
No, that's only throat punches.
Throat punch. Don't tell Lolo about a colon punch. But the Cato is going to keep talking. You would think that Ricky Williams would need complete silence to operate. Cato Kalin then says this.
Feels like I actually swallowed the Heisman Trophy.
Really? Really, Cato? Really? We're going to talk about the Heisman Trophy right now?
Why did they give him the cymbal sound? That was not a good joke.
I don't know. And are we talking about Ricky Williams or OJ's Heisman Trophy?
Maybe both. He was pretty backed up.
Oh, my.
Too much.
And then why was Ricky Williams so sweaty, Melissa? What was going
on? That's the cinematography I'm looking for in Big Brother. That image of the sweat dripping off his nose as he's fully focused on this massage. That was just gorgeous. It was disgusting, yes, but gorgeous.
You only ever hear Big Brother house is freezing. Big Brother house is so cold. It's so cold in there. Have you never seen another person in the history of Big Brother with sweat dripping off of them from inside the house?
He's focused.
He said he felt heat coming off of the colon.
He's getting the heat from the colon.
The Cato colon.
How massages work?
It's so disgusting.
Yes. And then Cato Kalin, then he wasn't sure. He was a skeptic.
You know, he's doing his colon massage, and, you know, I thought it was going to work, and I could feel a little something, and Wait.
Okay. And then we heard him. He's like yelling in the bathroom.
I was telling Melissa before the podcast started that it would have been better if he had just pooped his pants in the DR.
Why?
Because, you know what? At least then he's fully embarrassed, as he should be, by this segment.
Oh,
see, the stuff like this is why I never tell my friends to watch Big Brother, because they're like, why do you watch it? I'm like, I watch it for the strategy. I really love it. And it's like, if I tell them to watch it and they come on in this episode and they're just looking at poop jokes and strange massages and bodily functions like sweat dripping down your face, like there's no way I'm getting my credibility back. So I got to keep them away.
Yeah. Look, celebrity Big Brother.
Oh, boy.
It was horrible. That was one of the worst segments of TV I've ever watched in my entire life. And I wish I could have those like 4 minutes back.
Do you feel like you have a pain in like the pit of your stomach watching it?
Yeah, I'm going to need a massage from Ricky Williams.
Yeah, do you need a massage?
My belly hurty.
No!
Hurty colon.
Hurty colon.
Stop.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's too much. It's just too much.
Like, can't they give us 4 more minutes of Tamar doing literally anything?
There's also so much more to cover. Like, there are so many days and hours and minutes worth of footage that they could have used that were important, or, you know, filled with drama, or you'd understand more like the inner workings of the house, like who's working with who and who's actually working. I mean, I want to hear a DR from Lolo and Natalie Eva Marie telling me who they're actually going to be loyal to, if anyone else, like who they're going to work with. Do they actually trust Ricky, or are they just using him? I just want to hear all of it. And I feel like I'm not getting enough of because that's what the best part of the episodes is you get to hear their DR sessions when they're being genuine and not just giving, you know, jokes. It's really important for me to hear what they're actually thinking in regards to who they're working with and what their strategy is. And instead, we get this. We get this garbage. So, you know,
what do you want to know that we don't know?
I want to know who Natalie, Eva Marie, and Lolo are loyal to. I want to know if they want to keep Tamar around. I want to know if they actually want to work with Ricky or if they're trying to actually work with Kato and Tom. Because it seems to me that they are loyal to Ricky. It's the two of them and Ricky is what I'm getting out of this. But then I also want to know who Ricky's loyal to.
But plans are that detailed?
Yes, I really do think so. I really do think, especially Lolo and Natalie, I think they're really good and they're really in it to win it. And I think that they've got the strategic thinking. I mean, we can get into it later when we talk about the live feed stuff, but Lolo is able to successfully do a lot of stuff that you would think wouldn't work that ends up working. So I won't mention anything further, but you know that I just want to know what they're really thinking and how things are going in their mind. So there's so much more that we could cover that isn't being covered. And I wish they would.
Okay. All right. Let's take some questions. I think they're doing a great job so far on Celebrity Big Brother. Okay. All right, let's take some questions. Mindy says, is blow drying your feet before putting on your shoes a thing? Joey is teaching me all sorts of new bathroom stuff. He needs his own show. Yeah, so this was a question. I think that the tabulator brought this up on Twitter, Kirsten. Yeah, why did Joey Lawrence bring a hair dryer into the house?
Well, it certainly was not for his hair. But what we do know is that Joey Lawrence gets very cold. And as a Canadian, I can relate to that. And I know there were many times in my childhood where we would like use the blow dryer to like heat up our pajamas before we put them on. And I assume that that's what this situation's all about. He just wants warm, dry feet when he puts on his slippers.
So that's why he brought a hair dryer to the house?
Yeah. Oh, is it his blow dryer though, or is it someone else's?
Didn't somebody ask if they could borrow his hair dryer during the challenge?
He has a special body part dryer. It's not actually a hair dryer at all.
Whoa.
This is very strange. We are learning too much about Joey Lawrence, I think.
Okay. Ian has a question. Please discuss the intestinal fortitude Kato showed by winning that endurance competition. How do you think him being in power has impacted his game?
My belly hurty colon.
I hate it.
Yeah.
I'm a little nervous for him actually, because I feel like, especially if they end up getting Ryan Lochte out, that he's going to be the biggest physical threat there. I mean, obviously you've got some actual athletes there, but in terms of winning these particular types of competitions, he's already showing that he's a big threat. So I think him winning this was important for him and Tom to get through this week, because I felt like they were on the outs. But I think that moving forward, it might not be great for Kato, because now people will really be able to point to two separate competition wins as demonstrating that he is a threat.
Okay. Let's take this question. This is from John Barber. Why was the light still on at 4 a.m.? Is that the light in the room? I think they never turn the lights off.
Well, I feel like
when they sleep.
Yeah, when everyone is asleep, the lights go off. And why would they turn the lights off when Tamar is the only one sleeping in the room?
Okay. This is a question from Dalton. If Kato feels threatened by Lochte and Lochte isn't with the girls, who does he have in this game? Well, don't expect logic from Kato Kaelin. He's got too many crazy things on his mind.
Yeah, I don't understand why they feel so threatened by Ryan Lochte, considering that he got his biggest ally removed. Like, his biggest ally was Jonathan. Jonathan's out of the game. Ryan is someone you could absolutely scoop up and use to your advantage, because he's the perfect meat shield. And they're not doing that. And it's really disappointing. I felt like Tom had the right idea moving into this week. And then Kato kind of just like took Tom's ideas and just stomped on them and said like, no, we're not doing that. And it's a little disappointing, because I was really excited about the Tomato Alliance. And now I just feel like Tom needed to have stepped up and put his foot down and said, no, this is important. This is what we're doing. And instead Kato did that. And that's the wrong person you want controlling your alliance.
Or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, he should control nothing yet, but he's completely intractable. He doesn't really listen to other people. So if you want to work with him, you kind of have to go along with what he's thinking. And nobody, like, people should be dragging Lockjaw along for at least a little while longer, but also every single person should be trying to drag Tamar to the end with them, right? Mm-hmm. But that's also not happening. So it's really frustrating to watch.
Okay. This is a question from Jess. Will stepping on a shrimp go down in history as one of the greatest reasons for a nomination? Melissa, where is that rank for you?
I think it's a pretty good one. If I'm being honest, I think that's one of the funnier ones we've heard, is the stepping on a shrimp part.
Mm-hmm.
I did not expect that to ever be something anyone would say, let alone what I would say. So, you know, stepping on a shrimp, can't step on shrimp.
Okay.
They're slippery.
They are slippery. It's like a banana peel. John Barber says, has Tamar become borderline unbearable? Well, it's hard for us to say from what we saw tonight. But Melissa, how real is that? That we know Lolo and Tamar have friction. We've seen Candy and Tamar have friction. But is the rest of the house have issue, or they don't like the drama?
Tamar is a little much. It can be very fun to watch, but I can imagine that if you're living in the same place as her, you would feel the need to walk on eggshells around her.
Or shrimp shells.
Walk on shrimp shells. But you know, it's great to watch. It creates great drama, but at the same time, I can't really recall a time watching Tamar on the feeds where she wasn't getting into it with someone. Even if it was like kind of a playful fight, she still kind of turns it a little serious sometimes. So it's a little much, but so I could see why people in the house would be kind of over her. But as a feeds watcher, she does bring it in any scene she's in. So
yeah, Tamar is everything, and anyone who's talking about her being unbearable is dead to me.
Yes, because as viewers, that she's also been incredible to us.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Exactly.
Yes, that's right. That's right. We love it. Here's one from Scott. Have they always had a fire escape plan on the door? I noticed it with all the people going in and out of the women in Ricky's room. Scott, what do we have? Like the blueprints for the house?
We don't know.
They need to know how to leave if there's an emergency.
It is smart to have it. They should have it. I think also because it's not somebody's actual house. Like a commercial building, but
yeah. Tara wants to know, I love seeing Cato's nomination speech get repeatedly interrupted. Was it the worst nomination speech since Sam's BB20, the opposite of female empowerment lecture, Melissa?
It was a pretty bad speech. Like I'm totally on the fence though about whether I like people interrupting these speeches or not. I feel like I don't like it because it ruins the decorum of the nominations. Yes. And you know, it's you're supposed to be respectful of the HOH, and that's kind of the thing. And then when the nominations happen, you're supposed to just, like, you know, suck it up and take it. But at the same time, it creates a very interesting episode, and it creates fun moments to watch and talk about. But I wouldn't like this to be a pattern that happens every single time, because then it just devolves into nobody can get, like, people plan these speeches out. Maybe Cato didn't really plan his out, but people usually plan these speeches out.
Do you think that these six of the seven dwarfs weren't happy was planned?
I feel like he says that to his family, probably.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he says he has a lot of canned phrases, I think, and canned jokes, and he just, like, throws them out wherever the moment might be right.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the counterpoint to Melissa there, though, is, can anyone respect Cato Kalin?
It'd be tough after tonight. Know. Yes.
Yeah. I certainly can't again.
My belly hurty.
No.
Okay. Tender Taryn wants to ask, who does Melissa's casual mom like on this season? Melissa, have you checked in with your mom about Celebrity Big Brother?
I need to check in with her again, but she was disappointed that Jonathan left. She was not happy that that was something. I think she wanted him to stick around because she likes the players who are there to, like, in it to win it, in it to play. And I don't think that she...
She didn't follow him from his movie career, that she just liked him on the show?
Yes. She doesn't really know a lot of the people that are currently on the show. She knows, you know, Real Housewives and stuff like that. So she's not really following these people or enjoying these people because of their previous careers. It's based on who's playing the game and who's really trying. And, you know, that's what she is.
Maybe she's not that much of a casual.
And maybe not, you know, she maybe is. I think she's a little tainted because I give her too much information.
Yeah, apple didn't fall far from the tree.
So true.
The tree of temptation. All right. So let's talk about the weekend on the live feeds as we start to get ready for tomorrow night's eviction episode. If you are going to be bouncing out here, we got a great show on Monday night. Caitlin Herman scheduled to be here with us in the studio. Very excited about that coming up on Monday night. So be on the lookout for that. And for everybody else, let's talk about what's going on with the spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
All right, spoilers are here. Okay. All right. So, Melissa, we got a vote coming up tomorrow. Got a veto coming up tomorrow. What is the most likely scenario for Monday night at this hour?
It's kind of hard to say because we haven't had the veto yet. So it really depends on the outcome, who wins it, what they decide to do, et cetera. But at this point, it looks like the plan is to backdoor Ryan Lochte. Yeah. Which is not quite what I think they should be doing. I think that could be good for Lolo and Natalie and Ricky, but I don't necessarily think that's a smart move for Kato and Tom. Mm-hmm. And so it's a little disappointing that's where it seems to be ending up. It appears to me that if they can't get Ryan on the block, Ryan and Joey have actually figured out that if they win the veto, they should not use it. Because then they will not be put on the block. They were talking about, oh, maybe we should use it. But if Ryan wins the veto and uses it, then Joey goes on the block and goes home. So they, in order to save them both, they have to win the veto and keep the nominations the same.
Right. But they may not be in the veto.
Right.
Yeah.
They might not be in the veto. So that's kind of where we're at now. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the veto.
Okay. All right. Who should they be targeting, the tomato?
I think they should be targeting Ricky.
Okay.
I think he's really dangerous. And I think that Lolo and Natalie are more loyal to Ricky than they are to Tom and Kato. And that's very bad for Tom and Kato because Tom and Ricky don't get along very well. Lolo very smartly today got Ricky to talk to Tom and try and smooth out their issues, but not by saying, oh, let's smooth out our issues. She told Ricky to ask Tom to name the alliance and say, you know, you're the creative one. I would love for you to come up with a name. You're good at this stuff. Because Lolo's logic was that Tom doesn't feel like he's in control. After Ricky basically said to Tom, he doesn't want to be a part of their alliance. Tom felt totally out of place and he didn't feel like he had any control in the alliance anymore because Lolo and Natalie Marie still wanted to work with Ricky, even after Ricky said he didn't want to be part of the alliance. And so she wanted Ricky to give Tom back that feeling of being in power. So when Tom gets the opportunity to name the alliance, that gives him that feeling that he's in control. And everyone's sitting there saying, that's not going to work. That mm-hmm. No, there's no way Tom's falling for this. Of course, Ricky goes and does it. And right afterwards, Tom is like, you know what? I feel a lot more comfortable with Ricky now. I feel really good about where we are. So Lolo really killed it with that strategy. It was great.
Wow. Okay. Well, and
I think the other thing with that too, though, is that Tom has said a lot about not trusting Ricky over the last few days, and it's not working, and Kato is not having it, and Natalie and Lolo are also not having it. So at a certain point, even if he doesn't fully buy what Ricky's doing, he probably has to act like he does anyways. I'm not saying that that's the case, but it's not impossible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Melissa, this is like on Survivor when you get the chickens and people are like, don't name them. Don't name the chickens. Because if we name them, then we'll have attachment to them and then we won't want to eat them. So if we give it a name, it can't be food. And that's mm-hmm. the same idea. If you name it, then you'll fall in love with it.
If you name it, then it's real.
Yeah.
Truth.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's interesting.
If the nominations stay the same, if Tamar and Dina remain on the block here, and it's interesting that we had three nominees last week, had to be three nominees, and then we're just like unceremoniously two nominees now. So with two nominees on the block, Melissa, who would go home if it's Tamar versus Dina?
I do believe that it could go either way, but I think that Dina will be more likely voted out unless they can figure out some way to get someone else on their side. But at this point, I believe that Natalie, Eva Marie, and Lolo, and I believe that Ricky and Tom will all do the same thing. So that's already a big voting block. So I believe that Dina will be the one to go.
Kirsten, how does anybody see Dina as a threat here?
Well, I don't even think that they're seeing her as a threat. I just think it's so easy to vote out the person that doesn't really have any connections in the house, and they're not being forward thinking. Rather than trying to scoop her up, they're just like, you know, we'll just get rid of it. And that makes everything more complicated moving forward. But I guess it's more fun. Dina's been a lot of unfulfilled potential for me anyway, so I guess she can go.
Is it possible will we have Lindsay Lohan in the live audience on Monday?
Possible, but I don't know if she would be.
Is it possible that we get a tweet from Lindsay Lohan on the show?
I feel like it's more likely that Lindsay Lohan will say something incomprehensible on Instagram.
That's her preferred medium.
That's where she goes. That's where she's totally messy. And I think that's what we could expect from her.
Okay.
She might do a nice little video.
Maybe an Instagram live.
Now, I know that the CBS website was down, and I saw a lot of people on Twitter very upset about that. Hey, I pay good money for these feeds. What's going on? Why is my app not working? Listen, what was the overall status with the feeds this afternoon?
And they seem to be working fine for me. So I don't know. I don't know what everyone's having problems with. So
this was more of a issue with the app than an issue with the feeds.
I believe so, because I wasn't using the app so I didn't have any issues today.
Okay.
Yeah. I think lots of people had to restart their computer and then it was fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Did you try turning it on and off again?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you have to do.
What I read was that there was an issue with the traffic. Ricky Williams had to come in and he was able to.
Hurdy.
I hate this clip so much,
I'm
Rob,
sorry,
and
Melissa.
You keep playing
I'm sorry,
it.
Melissa, I want to apologize to both of you because I'm on the right side of history, but I apologize that you guys had to be here for this because this was a night that we will never forget. It's not one I'm proud of, but
it's just I've never felt so attacked as whenever you play that clip.
Yeah,
that's worse than Kato Kaelin when Dina was cheering for people.
1,000 times worse. I know it's hard to imagine anything worse than that, but it's worse.
Yes.
But it was bad.
Melissa, anything else notable from the feed say that we should know about?
Not particularly. I feel like the big thing for me was watching Lolo tell Ricky that plan and then have Ricky carry it out and have it seemingly work totally fine. So I was excited about it, but I felt like also sad because I was like, Tom, why are you just believing everything that they're pulling one over on him? But there, you know what? I'm very impressed with some of the gameplay and some of the strategizing that's been going on this season. So I got to be here for it. So.
Okay. Kirsten, do you think we'll see another HOH tomorrow night?
I don't think the next one will be an endurance one, so I don't think we'll see it on the feeds. I would assume feeds will go down at some point after the episode tomorrow night.
Yeah, so just to talk through the schedule for this week, I believe that the schedule for this upcoming week, and it's not going to be consistent all the way through for all of you Celebrity Big Brother viewers. So we'll be back on Monday night, and then we'll have another episode on Wednesday night, and then we're off for two nights in a row for the first time in Celebrity Big Brother, and I believe we are back on Saturday night, and I believe that the Saturday night will be the next eviction. So we'll have an eviction on Monday night. And then then we will have an episode on Wednesday where I guess we'll get nominations. And then Saturday we'll have presumably the veto and then the next nomination coming up. So Monday after tonight, it'll be Monday, Wednesday, Saturday for Celebrity Big Brother.
Okay. Perfect.
We've got some 2-hour episodes along the way. We've got some 9 p.m. start times on the East Coast. So hang on. It's going to be a wild ride. It's like we're all on the wall having slime and sugar thrown at us left and right. Let's do a couple quick questions. Jessica wants to know, is it better for Kato and Tom to align with Lolo and Natalie or pick up Ryan and Joey? I think we're all on the same page. Better to... go with Ryan and Joey, correct?
Yeah.
Better for them.
They're more tractable.
Okay. All right. Mr. Robot Taryn says, Kirsten, which celebrity house guests are the angels and who are the devils? Taryn, come on.
I'm trying to... I haven't seen anybody wearing red, so... I don't know. I guess I'm going to claim Tamar as a devil because I love her.
Yeah. Natalie Eva Marie used to have all red hair in her WWE heyday.
So, you know, maybe she's a reformed devil. Mm-hmm. Is that possible? I don't know. I guess Candy maybe is an angel. Anyone who fights with Tamar maybe is an angel. The thing that you need to know is that there's no rhyme or reason to who's an angel and who's a devil.
Yeah.
You just have to decide.
Okay. Then the Melissa Bot says, who would Lindsay Lohan kill if Dina is evicted this week?
Well, hopefully no one.
Yeah, hopefully. That's right. That's right.
I hope. Jeez.
Yeah, I wouldn't want Kato to be associated with something terrible like that. Caroline wants to know, was Kato Dina the shortest lived BB showmans ever? Were we ever considering that a showmans?
They were flirting a little bit and there were people talking about them flirting. And then Kato wins HOH and gets a letter from his girlfriend. And they're all like, wait, you have a girlfriend? And he's like, yep. And that was the end of that. Okay. It was a beautiful love story.
Not everything is a manse, people.
Okay. Steph says, so we have to watch Kato get his tummy massaged by Ricky, but they won't show Tom acting like an osprey in the middle of the night. I feel robbed. Look, just because you don't see it tonight doesn't mean that that's not going to be filler at another point during the season.
Yeah, that can be placed anywhere. Tom with the cereal boxes is really... transcends episodes.
Okay. Kieran wants to know, if Ryan does not win the veto, is he done? I think there's some other scenarios. If Joey wins the veto, he's not done.
Yeah. Right. I think there are some scenarios, but it does seem like we are heading in the direction of Ryan going home this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm trying to think of if there's anybody else from that side. No, right? So it's really he's got to win the veto or Joey's got to win the veto.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Tender Taryn wants to know, is Melissa officially a member of the Ball Smashers? Melissa, can you tell us a little bit about your weekend?
Geez, I hope I'm a member of the Ball Smashers. They're great. They're fun. I had a lot of fun. Did a lot of Big Brother related. Ball Smashers. Mm-hmm. Had some fun Big Brother related activities and meeting some cool people. And it was just a lot of fun. Okay. Good times.
All right. Let's take another question or two. Kyle says, are we going to get a Meta World Peace situation with Joey Lawrence if Ryan gets backdoored? So is that will Joey quit if we end up with Ryan getting backdoored? I don't think so, right?
No, I don't think he will quit. I think it could be a situation where he's like, I don't want to play anymore, but I don't see him quitting, but I could see him kind of making it easy for people to then nominate him and then kick him out.
Yeah. And it won't be a quit. Right?
No, I feel like more so he'll take it super personally and then try to win to like show everyone else.
Oh, he's going to be then
like to win an HOH anyways.
Yeah. Melissa, that we didn't get to hear from you regarding the Mooch controversy from Friday night. Did you have any thoughts on that?
Yes, that I was very not happy with that. I'm fine. I mean, I'm not fine, but I would feel better about the situation if it was a quit. But instead, it makes CBS look bad because now it makes it look like they just tried to like pull one over on the fans and make us look stupid. I mean, people drafted him. People were rooting for him. Yes, they did. And, you know, I think that it's a really bad look for CBS. I think that it makes it very clear that they were only interested in getting him on for publicity purposes and getting those headlines. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just seems to me that at the last minute, they probably were like, oh, shoot, we need another Omarosa type. We need a political figure. And the Mooch is like, hey, I would do it, but I have to be at this conference. So I'm only available for X amount of days. And they're like, you know what? We'll take it. We don't care. We want mm-hmm. you in. And then, you know, it's just, what's the point? Like, yeah, sure, it got people talking, but it just upsets the fans. So I'm not a fan of it.
Yeah. You know, I felt like that maybe this was a quit. He didn't look happy. And I said that on Friday night. But in the last couple of days that it seems as though that he was going to be at that conference, that he was mm-hmm. expected to be at that conference. So what I don't understand is I just don't understand why they didn't do anything with him, where it was that they had this opportunity, Kirsten, that they could have made it into. So I don't know if it would have been something great, but they could have made it into something like on night one, Julie tells us, but there's something that the house guests don't know. And like, mm-hmm. they sort of reveal like, the Mooch is, you know, is, I don't know. Well, he's already gone by the time he couldn't be America's player, but there's some sort of, you know, Team America or, you know, the hidden house guest or something like that. And we're going to see each night that the Mooch is going to do something to mess with the house guests, right. Or like they just like he was there and then bazinga, he wasn't there. And there was just no rhyme or reason to it.
Yeah, and I mean, I get it if they didn't want to tell us that it was him specifically right from the get-go, if they wanted to have that be more of a big story in a few episodes, but they could have had it like, yes, one of these house guests is not a real house guest, and there are clues in the episodes to help you figure it out.
Find out on Friday night which house guest is actually was actually a mole the whole time.
Yeah. It could have just been a little mini version of We Is the Mole, and they didn't do it.
Yeah.
There's also the possibility that maybe he said, I need to be there for this conference. And they're like, okay, well, just see how it goes. And maybe they were hoping that he would actually decide, like, you know what? I'm too invested in this game. I need to stay in. And then he stays. And then it all makes sense. They don't need to have all this, like, crazy, you know, saboteur stuff going on. And he just becomes a regular house guest. But instead, he was like, yeah, I'm not doing so well. I want to leave and go to this conference that I had told you guys about. Yeah. So, no, it's possible.
I do wonder if hypothetically he wasn't on the block in the first week, if that could have potentially changed anything, where, you know, they had that draft where two people were supposed to be safe and then Dina Lohan ends up picking him just because she couldn't remember anybody else's name. But there definitely was the scenario where he doesn't get picked in that first round. He would have been immune for the first week. And mm-hmm. who knows if maybe that would have changed up the plan a little bit. But I guess... we'll probably never know.
No, we probably will never know. But it could have been in his contract. There's like the option to stay or to leave, depending on...
Or to come back.
Or, yeah, like just have that written in his contract. So that way it's like if he does choose to leave and go to Davos, then that's fine. It's in his contract. Or he could choose to stay. So maybe they were... you know, banking on or hoping that maybe he would be feeling good about his place in the game and then decide to stay. And instead he's like, yeah, hell no.
Guys, time. Okay. Yeah. All right. Anything else, Kirsten, anything else you want to say tonight before we close things up?
I just remembered one thing.
Yes.
So during the HOH competition tonight, Ricky Williams says he's talking about how Pisces are able to like go into their own other world. And that's why he's going to be okay in the competition. Ricky Williams is a Gemini.
Oh.
And I just wanted to say that for the record.
Oh my God.
I was like, wait a second. I saw someone talk about him being a Gemini. So I Googled it. His birthday is May 21st. He just missed being a Taurus. He's not even close to Pisces. So mm-hmm. I don't know what he was talking about. I don't know. Maybe it's
so bizarre.
Ascendant or something, but I don't know.
That's really funny.
Okay. Well, it could be his ascendant or his moon. But
I didn't even think to question it.
I literally saw a tweet like 2 days ago that said, oh, it makes so much sense that Ricky is a Gemini because he totally flipped it when he got into that fight a few days ago. So that's the only reason why it picked up. And I think everybody needs to know that. So
yeah, totally. Okay. This is big news, guys.
Let's talk about what else we got going on robiswebsite.com and the Rehap Ups and Rob has a podcast. Top Chef, still ongoing, season 16, episode 8. The Rehap Up is here on our Rehap Ups podcast. RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 4. The episodes have been recap with Mike and Brent. Liana is up as well on robinswebsite.com. Don't forget about the morning update. Taryn will be back on Monday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. And then we will be back together, myself, Taryn, and there's Caitlin. She is scheduled to be with us on Monday night. So excited about that. That should be a lot of fun for the live eviction coming up on Monday. So lots of good stuff. Also, I am going to have the first in my series of deep dives, the story so far on the Survivor 38 returnees. And I will have a Survivor podcast up as well for you guys later on tonight. I spoke with our own Liana Boris, and we talked all about the story of Kelly Wentworth so far, and talking about her experience through two seasons of Survivor. And then later on this week, we will have a profile on David Wright, Aubrey Bracco, and Joey Amazing coming up here as we start to kick off the Survivor 38 preseason. Of course, all this would not be possible without the support of our amazing patrons. To find out more about the benefits of becoming a Robinson Podcast patron and being a part of our Robinson Podcast patron community, go to robhaswebsite.com/patron for more information. Okay. What a night. It's all happening. Celebrity Big Brother firing on all cylinders.
So true.
We're having the best time. Thank you, Kirsten, for joining us. So nice to get to catch up.
Thank you for having me. I'm always thrilled to come talk Big Brother with you.
Okay. Of course, Kirsten said what on Twitter, correct?
Yeah, on Twitter and Instagram.
On Twitter and Instagram. Anything else that you have going on?
Yeah, I do a weekly Riverdale recap podcast with the great Mary Kwiatkowski, who you might recognize from some morning updates. It's on Kowski Cast. That's Cow with a K. And it is almost as much of a hot mess as the colon massage. So you should definitely check it out.
Oh, boy. They do some wacky stuff on Riverdale. They never had that, right?
Thankfully, no. But honestly, it could happen at any time.
Yes. Okay. All right. So be on the lookout for that. And then, of course, it's Melissa. She's on Twitter. 3 A's. Is that for Instagram, too?
It is for Instagram, too.
Okay.
Although I'm not very good at using Instagram. But you know what? I'll try.
Okay. All right. Taryn is upping the pressure on everybody to get on there.
He is. He's very good at Instagram.
Yes.
Not nearly as good.
Yes.
He has cat pictures on there.
Yes. Well, he did not join for so long that all of his posts were building up and there was a blockage. And now that he has been able to release the pressure.
Is this another Kato colon joke? Too much.
My belly hurty.
Okay. All right.
Okay, cool.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much, Scott St. Pierre. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.